The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1. Sponsored by Sky Broadband. Get the power to do more with Sky's best ever Wi-Fi.
Good morning, all. This is Ryan Tuberty with you on Friday morning. It's the 5th of March, 2021. It's just about 4 minutes past nine. We're with you till 10 o'clock. It's a beautiful morning in Dublin. Day breaking beautifully this morning around about a quarter to seven thereabouts. It was absolutely stunning. So here's hoping for a beautiful weekend for one and all. So what have we got for you this morning? Plenty to talk about. 51551 is the text number. You can email ryan at RTE. .ie. Thanks for all your emails overnight. We'll get to some of those as well as everything else. So we've got a quiz and we've got people to talk to and so lots of places to go today. Congratulations to Denise Chyla for her big win at the Choice Album of the Year Award. Niall Horan, also another great guy, bags best song for No Judgment. So that was a good result all around. Delighted for Denise. She's been on the show, the Late Late Show, with us a couple of times with her band and friends, I suppose, really. They're a lovely bunch of guys that she has around her. Really good fun, very friendly, and a very warm bunch of people. So it's great to see good people winning good prizes for a good reason. So well done to one and all on that front. And well done to the albatross who lives, weirdly, 1,300 miles away from Hawaii. I think there's a kind of weird description of saying where some place is. This feels like a lot of miles. There must be a pub nearer to where. Anyway, this albatross is called Wisdom. And Wisdom is 70 years old. You often see an albatross if you live by the sea. I would. They tend to put the, you know, a bit like Grasshopper and Karate Kid, you know, the wings out and the leg up, looking in the sea, trying to dry the feathers. And anyway, Wisdom is 70 years old. And Wisdom has a lot of children. Wisdom hadn't had many, many kids in her 70 years. But not only this, the reason she's in the news is because she's hatched another chick at 70, which is pretty impressive. This is pretty much her 40th chick that she's reared. So it's impressive. Septuagenarian seabird hatched again last month on the breeding habitat of Midway Atoll, which is 1,300 miles from Hawaii, in case you're wondering. And she's been raising chicks with her current mate since 2010. So ain't no stopping her now. That's good news. Same goes for Kane Tanaka. Never heard of Kane Tanaka until this morning. Kane Tanaka is going to be carrying the Olympic torch this May in Japan at the age of 118. So if you're an old albatross giving birth at 70, you can be a what do they call it? Brilliant word here. Super centenarian. And that's not that awful current use of super, super excited, super talented. It's actually the proper use of it. Super centenarian, a person aged over 110 is a super centenarian. I don't know if we have any in Ireland. I think we might have one. But certainly this lady is 118 years old. She'll carry the torch. She has survived cancer twice. She has lived through two global pandemics. And here's the kicker. She loves fizzy drinks. So when you're reaching for that can of or bottle of and you think, I shouldn't, and while your teeth might cringe with pain, your body and system might actually say, yeah, go for it. Because if Kane Tanaka can get through 118 years drinking it, can't be the worst thing ever. So she will do this. She will be pushed in a wheelchair and by her family, and then she's determined to walk the final few steps as she passes the torch to the next runner. Isn't that beautiful? And again, age. I think our relationship as a species with the notion of age has changed dramatically in the last 20 years. And the longevity in life and so on is different. And there's a new young and there's a new old. And we're just, I think, coming to terms with that. That's the truth of it. Much talk in many of the papers today about the big Oprah Winfrey interview with Meghan and Harry. It's a funny story because some people will say, I don't care. I simply don't care. Royal family, don't care. Big castles, for what? Born into it, means nothing to me. It's over there. That's your problem. It's a soap opera with crowns. Beat it. And then other people going, is it not fascinating? Hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years of intrigue and fascinating people and drama. And now we have this big civil war within his family. Look at the popularity of The Crown. That's the drama. This is real life. And the Queen's and the firm and came out this week and said, Meghan's a bully. And she said, no, you just put that out because you're trying to steal the thunder from my interview with. And is she doing a full John and Yoko with the brother? And now the brothers have fallen out. And what's going on? That's why it's so dramatic. And that's why it's been sold to 68 countries around the world. I'd say that's just the tip of the iceberg. They're promising shocking revelations. It's going to be showed on RTE television, RTE2. On Monday night, so we have an interest in it too. 50 countries in sub-Saharan Africa will broadcast the interview. It's amazing. And then you've got the parallel drama because Prince Philip is in hospital. He's, of course, Harry's grandfather, who's 99. Back to another ageing story there. Recovering from heart surgery in hospital. So a lot of people are saying, tasteless, the poor man in hospital, and you going on talking to Oprah Winfrey with... It's a bit like the Wallace King, you know, when he kind of abdicated, and there's an element of that about it. Anyway, it's everywhere. I said to one of the girls in the shop this morning, "What do you care about Meghan?" I was buying the papers. What do you think of Meghan? She was in all the. And the girl said, "I think she's misunderstood." I said, "Well, that's a very interesting interpretation of it. It's a good word too for it all." You know, I mean, obviously, I love to name drop the fact that I met her in Washington once upon a time for about between 90 seconds and 2 minutes for a chat as she was introduced. And all I'll tell you is from that brief introduction, that brief engagement with her, well, she was very charming, very pleasant, very warm. And but that's it. You probably need a bit more time with somebody to get the measure of them. And the same could be said of me. I have no doubt. Never give up. A tweet by Angeline Bouly, who's the author of Firekeeper's Daughter. Dear aspiring, well, this is to the aspiring writers out there this morning. She said, my great idea came at the age of 18. Then three kids, career, life, etc. I started writing again at 44. At 54, I signed with an agent, sold my debut book at an auction, optioned film rights to the Obama's film company. Firekeeper's Daughter hits stores on the 16th of March. I'm 55. So she got her first book. Imagine that. Came up with the idea at 18, parked everything until she was 54, wrote the book, sorry, 44, wrote the book, tried, knocked on all the doors. At 54, got the agent, got published, now with the Obama Film Company, and she's on the road. So never give up. That's a great lesson in life, is it not? How about a bit of opera next week? Wouldn't that be nice? The Bord Gáis Energy Theatre are going to be live streaming a beautiful live concert performance from their stage tomorrow week. That sounds like a gorgeous night in, isn't it? And it's the Irish National Opera production. It'll star the wonderful soprano Celine Byrne as Mimi and Lithuanian tenor Merūnas Vitulskis as Rodolfo. And they have a socially distanced 62-piece Irish National Opera Orchestra, as well as chorus and a gorgeous children's choir, which will add magic to the whole occasion. Tickets are from €20, so you and your housemates or partners or families can enjoy the thrill of a live opera from the comfort of home. I love that. And you get tickets there, Bord Gáis Energy Theatre.ie. They're ploughing on and carrying on regardless, so good luck to them with that performance. And Celine and others won't disappoint. That's the truth. This is a gorgeous story from the United States of America about a lady called Lisa Racine. And Lisa Racine, like so many of you listening this morning, hasn't had the opportunity to visit her father because he's in a nursing home and because of coronavirus. So what she did was, at the age of 58, she's a full-time project manager for a printing company. She took on a second job. This is really lovely. And the second job she took on is in the nursing home that her father works in. Sorry, that her father is a patient in or a client of. And she's a cleaner there now so that she can be close to her dad 2 days a week. Oh, that's a heartbreaking story. It's the most beautiful. Like, they must be so close. The dad's 87. His name's Harold. Of course it is. And she said, the work is hard, but it's worth it because I get to spend extra time with him. I have a bit of a routine. I usually arrive a few minutes early. I go in and check on my dad. And then when I'm done serving dinner, I check on him again. And at the end of my shift, I go into his room and I visit with him, and it could be anywhere from 10 minutes to an hour and a half, depending on how he's feeling. And before she started working at the nursing home, she hadn't been able to visit the dad since November. The FaceTime wasn't working because the dad was in technology, just wasn't working for him. And the window visits were just getting too cold and too tricky. And there's a gorgeous picture of her with her gear on and a mop, and she's cleaning the kitchens in the nursing home. I just thought, what a beautiful story. I really love that.
Punk fans will be delighted to know that Danny Boyle has given fans a sneak peek into Pistol, the new miniseries that he's directing for FX about the Sex Pistols, 6-part series. That sounds pretty interesting, based on Steve Jones' memoir Lonely Boy, Tales of a Sex Pistol, according to entertainment.ie this morning. Boyle will act as director and executive producer on the series. That sounds pretty damn good. Irish Examiner reporting that Edie Falco, of course, of Sopranos fame, will play Hillary Clinton in the third series of American Crime Story. Now, I loved the OJ American Crime Story. They lost me on the Versace one, but they'll get me again back for this one because it's based on the Clinton impeachment. Bill Clinton, obviously. So Falco will play Hillary Clinton. That's very interesting casting. Clive Owen to play Bill Clinton. Very interesting casting. And they cast brilliant. Remember they cast John Travolta in the last one? It was brilliant. So that'll be great fun. And it'll be, no doubt, because it's Ryan Murphy as producer, it'll be camp in a way. But that's rather brilliant as well. So based on Jeffrey Toobin, he had his own troubles, didn't he, recently? For different reasons, his book, A Vast Conspiracy, The Real Story of the Sex Scandal That Nearly Brought Down a President. And that's out, no date yet, but it's out soon, I hope. There was talk of flogging off Michael Collins' slippers, wasn't there, last week and the week before. But now they have Winston Churchill's slippers, a pair of slippers, they date back to the 50s. And it's cast that Winston Churchill, he was always a bit of a peacock. I mean, in terms of, and I'm not saying that in, actually, it sounds very disparaging. I don't really mean that. He just loved a good pinstripe suit and he loved his bow tie. He was a bit of a dandy, is probably a nicer word than a peacock. And nothing wrong with that, by the way. And he has these, they're monogrammed. I just think that's always kind of bonkers, but they're monogrammed slippers, WC, obviously, on them, monogrammed, embroidered with, in gold, his initials. And they are expected to go under the hammer for £15,000. And there's a brandy balloon. That's the glass, the brandy glass, again, with WC engraved in it. Just one. And that could fetch up to £10,000. And that'll be auctioned on the 9th of March. I'd love to see how that goes. We talked about Churchill's paintings earlier on. Do you remember with the fact that Angelina Jolie's selling off the one she got from Brad Pitt? The paintings and personal property have risen considerably since the political sale in the late 1990s. And the auctioneer guy says it's only the second opportunity to acquire these wonderful, wait for it, Churchilliana. Isn't that great? I mean, I love, that's the most beautiful auctioneer's word from Bellman's Auctioneers, Churchilliana. Now, I'm going to predict that the hammer price, what, 15 grand for the slippers and 10 for the glass. I'd say you could double or maybe quadruple that in when the actual figure comes in. That's my prediction. So we'll see you later on that. Meanwhile, Joe Casper writes in the Irish Sun this morning that Beatles memorabilia worth millions may have its value slashed after it was revealed that they used to fake each other's autographs. They have been saying that for years. They used to do that quite a lot, I think, and they talked about it. But each was scrawled by George Harrison. What's this now? Jules Holland says he has a Fab Four record with all the band signatures, but each was scrawled by George Harrison because they all took it in turns to sign stuff for fans. That's gas. Jules Holland was saying this. George Harrison gave me a Beatles record that all signed entirely by him. He said that when they started, they'd have to sign thousands of autographs for the fans, so they'd all practice and know how to do each other's. So there you are. A lock of hair, meanwhile, of one of the Beatles is for sale for about £30,000 on eBay. How do you prove the provenance of some of these things? I'll never know. I love this. I wonder, Jerry McBride asks, do tradespeople know that they are saved in our phones as first name and job description? This is, when you think of your phone numbers in your phone, you have, like, he has Ray Electricity. So that, there's a great point. For years, he says, they live on in our contact lists as Declan Cabinets, Martin Boiler, but no second names, because I suppose it's a transient transaction. So it's a kind of one-off almost. I'm not hardly going to get the boiler done all the time. And well, if I do need it again, it'll be just Martin. I mean, we're not going to have dinner together or go for drinks or a walk. It's just, that's who it is. And Mary got back to say that she has one in her phone saying Patrick, because she was trying to find a dog 9 years ago. Patrick, lovely dog. Mr. Patrick, lovely dog to reception, please. Who else has one? Another one is Alan Oven Sparkling. Obviously really good at giving the oven the proper clean. Darren has says, if you have a Mercedes and it's not working, his one is Mercedes Ray. And so everyone has something in their phone. Breda Mass Booklets was another one, obviously for the wedding, from Kira. And Patricia says, my favourite one is that she has in Alan Bouncy Castles. Who else would you call when you need a bouncy castle? Anyone. It's Alan. Right, I think you're talking about cormorants, not albatrosses. You're quite right. They are extremely rare, I've seen here. You're sorry. Thank you for correcting me on that. I appreciate it. I am talking about cormorants and not albatrosses. I completely... Now that is an albatross around my neck. So now we do have one in studio. But the cormorant is exactly the bird I was trying to talk about. I save the names the other way around. So it's Bricky Bill and Plasterer Pat. Well, at least whatever gets you through, you're fine. Please spare a thought for my lovely two daughters. Okay, and why should I do that? Because, well, you say Jane is 21 today, says Anne-Marie in Galway. Congratulations. And Elizabeth will be 18 tomorrow. Well, that's a round of applause for Jane, 21, Elizabeth, 18. They have to celebrate their milestone birthdays with their parents. Oh, kill the applause. That's the saddest thing ever. God help them. Lots of others in the same boat. But they're healthy, they're happy, and we have so much to be thankful for. So they will celebrate with their friends when it's safe to do so. And that's something to look forward to, that's for sure. Hey, here's another one. Kitty Houlihan from Baldoyle. Happy 92nd up the other end of the spectrum. Today she's going to be listening to us from 9 from all her families and friends, and that's from Avril Houlihan. Kitty Houlihan from Baldoyle. More applause. 92. 92, you two. Congratulations. Happy birthday. Meanwhile, dear Ryan, yes, Mary Spillane emails to say, I heard your smart TV prize winner Owen yesterday speaking about jigsaws and where to get them. Gosling Gifts and Games is an Irish-run jigsaw and games online shop based in Clonakilty in the county of Cork. I haven't purchased any from them myself, says Mary. I'm currently struggling with a 1,000 piece of a Japanese hanging... This is a very Radio 1 jigsaw. A Japanese hanging scroll that I purchased at the Chester Beatty Library. Perfect. Tick, tick, tick. And talk. But as a proud Corkonian, I would like to promote them as an Irish jigsaw source. A jig source. Very good. Okay. Meanwhile, their products are so beautiful, and I'm quite sure, Ryan, that as the lover of all things Irish and Wide Atlantic Way, you will adore their website. Thank you. Thanks for your... Thank you very much. Well, we mentioned Goslings before when Maeve, our listener, praised them for sending her on a missing piece from her 1,000-piece puzzle. But I'm delighted to mention them again because Irish is good, is not, if not good, is best. So that's good. So Alec Baldwin's a devil for the phone, isn't he, when he's going around in a given day? I think he's got about 6 kids, so he probably wants to get out of the house. A lot of people have found that their car has become this sanctuary. Where are you going? Shop. What for? The... crisps. Do we need crisps? Yeah. You sure? No. I'm just getting in the car, just leave me alone. And the car has become this mobile sanctuary, if you like. And sure enough, Alec Baldwin was there. And it's kind of this complicated story about something about accents and Gillian Anderson, which I'm not going to bother with. But what I am going to bother with is his takedown, or at least, not takedown isn't fair, his analysis of what Twitter is, because I tend to agree with him on this. Here is what he had to say in his car.
You can't say anything dark enough to describe a lot of the crowd on Twitter was something that I found wasn't worth the... I know everybody was saying to me, well, just ignore all these haters. And the problem with Twitter is Twitter is a lot of haters. Twitter is a lot of haters. Twitter is, you know, one-third interesting posts, photography, things like that. It's one-third tedious, uninteresting, puerile nonsense, and then it's one third or more, maybe, of just abject hatred and malice and unpleasantness. So I deactivated that account today.
There he goes. So what I liked about it, that was that he acknowledges that one third of it is lovely. Like you can talk about photography and flowers, whatever you're buying yourself, and then the other third is just unfunny gags, and then the other third is the bile. I thought it was good analysis of it. Okay, a lot of you have your phone things. We'll take a few, and then we'll leave it at that. Yeah, I'm known as Billy Flowers. Another has Nice Man and His Girlfriend. Another has Mary Tennis, Jerry Scouts and Pat Rugby. So there, that's the flavour. That'll do us nice. We'll leave it at that. But thank you for those. And they're a bit of crack. And they certainly exemplify the fact that we all have in our phones people with a name and their business in front of them, which is a bit of fun. Now, my little penny. Do I remember right that you are somewhere down the line related to the royal family, and as in the programme, Who Do You Think You Are from a few years ago? Yeah, thanks, Aileen, for bringing that up. That's decent of you. Yeah. So we made Who Do You Think You Are, and we made it with Mint Productions. One of my favourite things I ever did. Great crew. Mara Sweeney was the director in the gang, with Martha in the gang. We had great fun making it. And travelling around the country. And we talked about my grandfather in Dublin on the, you know, shooting from the what's now Burger King upstairs in the Civil War. And then went out to the hills of Connemara to see my other grandfather, who was, you know, local, shall we say, political activist at the time in that area. And so it was all very green and all very sulphurous, if you like. And then the lads had a twinkle in their eyes. They said, okay, Tubbs, we're going to London. I said, why? They said, we're not going to tell you. We'll catch it on camera. I said, okay. And I rolled with it because they were a good laugh / mocking me and trolling me actually to my face. So we got to London. I said, what's this beautiful building? They said, this is called the College of Heraldry. I said, that looks lovely. But what would I be doing here? I thought to myself, with the wolf tones ringing in my ear. And in we went, and this very nice gentleman said, hello, Mr. Taberty. I'd like to show you a little bit of your provenance from a name we received from the makers of Who Do You Think You Are? And obviously, this brings us to this lovely little book here. So they opened the book, and it was a kind of timeline of how a relative on my father's side went from a place like Tipperary and out of Dublin and over to London, and there was army reference points. And suddenly we started getting into Boer War, and it's going, yes, a little sweat appearing on my brow as we made our way further into the lineage of so-called. Then the book started getting more elaborate and colourful, and they were saying, and now it brings us up to this place. Now it was nearly embroidered pages with royalty. I was going, well, hang on, how did you go from here to there? I said, oh, we're not finished yet. And this brings us neatly, Mr. Doherty, to this page. I was like, lions, crowns, the whole lot. I said, where are we now? Oh, this is where we're showing you an absolute direct provenance from King Edward III. Well, at this stage, I think if you look back at the programme, the camera's shaking from the cameraman laughing so hard at my nerves that were all gone as they discovered that, yes, you did come from. Now, when I came out of the building, they were bowing and scraping, saying, well, nice to meet you. Sorry about all this. Anything you want, master. So it was a bit of a hoot for them. It was mildly embarrassing for me, and it was a bit of a laugh all around. Great programme, great fun. But I then heard subsequently that the King Edward III thing is a thing, that actually if we all looked at our... I'm trying to drag you all down with me now. If you all look into your past, you'll find some... you can find some class of link to the... Yeah, I'll stop talking now. Ella Fitzgerald starting us with a beautiful tune this Friday morning, because it's beautiful and we can only dream of foreign shores. Sublime. That's Ella Fitzgerald, beautiful orchestration, Isle of Paris. And that's a song that's probably played best on some vinyl late into the evening with a glass of something potent. Beautiful. Now, Paris, I spoke to a friend of mine in Paris only last evening, Paul, the great Paul Lynch, actually, and he was telling me that the Paris lockdown is very severe. He was just in the door at 6 o'clock. He has to try and finish work a bit early so we can get a walk in. And at 6 o'clock, he said, that's it, we're locked down. There's no going for a walk. There's no... He said that in certain parts of the south of France, the place that we all associate with, you know, posh holidays or whatever you want to call it, he said they were due an announcement to say, that's shut down for the weekend. No walking out the door at all. So I was kind of saying to him, gosh, suddenly don't feel so bad here. He didn't get out for the 5K. Suddenly felt like a huge breathing space moment. But anyway, we were chatting about Patrick's Day and how the Irish in France are going to celebrate Patrick's Day. And he was asking me to get involved in a little event they're doing, which I said yes to. I'll tell you about it next week. It's really good. Teaming up with Electric Ireland this week to mark the rollout of their smart meter price plans, which are going to help change everything about how you use electricity. And if you've already got your smart meter installed, Electric Ireland will help you make the most of it with benefits like choosing your own bill date and saying goodbye to estimate bills and being able to see just how much electricity you're using every day. To celebrate the arrival of the new smart meter price plans, Electric Ireland has given us €1,000 worth of smart devices. This is beautiful to give away every day this week. So if you'd like a new 50-inch HD smart TV and a brand new iPad for your house, here's your chance. Give us a call, 1850 759 900. 1850 715 900. Great prizes. We've spoken to some really lovely people this week who've all, I'm glad to say, really wanted the prize, and they have found good homes. So I'm delighted. It makes it all the difference, I think. Ella Fitzgerald says, Nicola, what an amazing diction, not to mention that voice, isn't it something? Louise in Mayo says, there is only one Ella. Well, I disagree with you, but that's personal. Thank you, Ryan, and beautiful moment. And yeah, it is. It is only one Ella Fitzgerald, that's for sure. Good morning, Ryan. Today is my 28th birthday. Chris, 28 today, and I'm sneakily having a coffee as I take a rare break from the front line. And hearing Ella has really made my day. So thank you so much for brightening my day. Chris, you keep going. To you and all your pals, I wish you well, and thanks for being with us this morning, and happy birthday, 28th birthday. It's a good age. On the basis of today, who do you think you are that you talked about? You're related to Danny Dyer, who has royal roots that far back as well. Thank you, Michael and Cass and Nock. Danny Dyer is one of those people whose name keeps coming up, but I don't really know who he is. And I know he's got a daughter. Like, if I was doing a quiz at home, I'd go, is he in EastEnders? I would say an actor and popular, very popular. It was his daughter in... I'm just playing this game with you now. His daughter was in a reality TV show for a while, and Love Island. Yes, yeah, okay, so by osmosis, this stuff comes in. Katrina here from Mohair in Liscannor. My grand aunt is 99 today. 99, which reminds me, I must get my first chocolate flake ice cream of the season this weekend. Anyway, back to your aunt, Bridie McNamara in Brampton Care Home in Oranmore, where the... Tuberty's lived for some time, but doing mighty. Their eldest resident, the light and soul of her family, always entertaining, but we miss her a lot with COVID restrictions. This is hard for everyone in care homes these days, but she's got her own. She's got the vaccine, and the Brompton care home staff are fabulous. So happy birthday, Bridie, and to all in the care home there and all in the care homes around the country, be they residents or staff, whether they're mopping the floors or feeding the good people around them, or caring for them in any capacity, or visiting them, or being them. Good morning. It's lovely to have you with us today. Okay, more to come. We'll be back shortly. On the night of the toy show just gone by, we decided we'd try and raise a few quid for children's charities around the country, and we asked you, could you help out? I think we asked you twice in the night. I've never seen anything like it. And thanks to you, we raised 6.6 million euro in one night in the course of 2 hours. And if you remember my reaction the night, if you saw it, I was just so flabbergasted as the money just kept coming and coming and coming. It was just amazing. And so tonight on the toy show, we are the Late Late Show, a regular one. We are having toy show friends with us. That is to say, Adam and Saoirse and Michael. And what we're going to be doing is chatting to them, see how they're doing, obviously. But also we want to say thank you. We're not asking for anything other than your attention as we say thank you so much for what you did, because you just made the country shine and feel good. And tonight we have 6.6 million reasons for you to be happy and to see where we're going to start going with the money. And in the next year or two, you'll see exactly where it goes and what difference it's going to make in children's lives around the country. It is a really feel-good story, and everyone has a part of it, which is so lovely because you all were so generous. So I just think you'll enjoy that tonight. And we have lots of other people joining us tonight, like Una Healy is going to be singing for us, and Picture House will be joining us tonight. Love them. And we'll also have Laura Whitmore and Dermot O'Leary. And Zoe Houlihan has an extraordinary story you might remember about this. I mean, out of this world story about a fire in Greece when they're on their honeymoon. And she's written a book about her experience. And I'm looking forward to meeting her because I've been reading about her all week and her book. And it's just a stunning, stunning story. Desperate, desperate story. But she tells it well. She's an extraordinary person. Anyway, it's one of those shows tonight. It goes from very, very happy, a little bit sad. But the central message at the start of the show, as you'll see, is gratitude and good news. Right, listen, we'll see you later on for the Late Late Show. It's just feel-good TV tonight, and I hope you really enjoy it. And thank you, team, this week for another extravaganza in the Dream Factory. What a joy. And we'll finish with this one joke from Jerry. It's pretty good because I thought it was a philosophy question when I read it first. It said, why don't ants get COVID? And then I realised it's because they have tiny little antibodies. Good one. All right, we'll leave it there for now. Thanks so much for listening. See you Monday morning, 9 to 10. In the meantime, stay tuned to Claire Byrne, and thank you for listening.
The Ryan Tuberty Show on RTE Radio 1.